This is Wade Rathke. That means it's Friday. It's Wade's World. 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time, or whatever time it is wherever you are. We're on KABF 88.3 FM, 100,000 watts of people power. Broadcasting live from Little Rock, Arkansas, on the web at www.kabf.org and picked up by our sister friendly partner stations in Flagstaff, Dallas, Seattle, and Louisville, and elsewhere around the country, and available by Monday on a podcast. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today, knocking right there on the door of the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina hitting New Orleans, 8/29/2005. We're talking to Vanessa Gehringer, head of the Lower Ninth Ward group of A Community Voice and vice president, co-chair, I never can get it all right, A Community Voice, used to be Louisiana Acorn. Vanessa, welcome to Wade's World.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Wade.
And I'm so glad I can get you. I wrote a book about, our experience in Katrina. Who was on the cover? Vanessa Gehringer.
Bam.
That's exactly right. And I've got her full force, fist in the air, mayor's face just going down, just about. But, so this is one of my favorite people. Vanessa, look, I'm serious. President Obama was in town today on the anniversary. Everybody's saying, hey, Mr. President, Mr. President, thank you for $70 billion large. How do you feel when you look at 10 years later? Where are we? Good, bad, lots to go, we're there. What's going on?
If you ask the majority of black folk in this town that still live in these flooded and damaged neighborhoods, they would tell you we're not at all where we need to be. Now, we do have a huge influx of outsiders that have moved to the city, white outsiders that believe the city's going in the right direction, that all is well.
And there's a lot of them, I don't know, white, black, or whatever, but now in New Orleans, which used to be one of the most localized populations in terms of people never went anywhere, and we all knew people never got past Bay St. Louis their whole lives, Texas, that was just a rumor, 25% of the New Orleans population is now from out of town. Now that's, who knew that was New Orleans? That's different than it used to be. Hey, I've lived here all these many years, I'm still a foreigner,
Okay. Well, we know in the black community that the city of New Orleans used the tragedy of Katrina to rid itself of the African-American population, specifically the poor African-American population in this city. 10 years hence, everything that could have been done with regards to putting obstacles in those folks' path not to come back was done. And the mission continues.
Yeah.
When we talk about the Road Home program.
What was that?
That was the program that gave the federal dollars to homeowners to rebuild.
Gotcha.
A maximum of $150,000 insurance.
Okay.
Not insurance, FEMA dollars.
Right.
Okay, if you had insurance,
that'd go with it.
That would go with it. A number of residents, thousands of residents, didn't get enough money to rebuild. Now, along with that, you had a situation where if you had a 1,500 square foot home in a heavily damaged area like the Lower Ninth Ward,
right,
and you had a home of the same square footage in an affluent middle class white neighborhood, which is Lakeview,
yeah,
okay, you didn't get the same amount of dollars, federal dollars, that person did in Lakeview. On top of that, you had the banks and the mortgage companies take their monies right off the top. When the checks were issued to folks to rebuild their homes, that mortgage company or that bank's name was on that check. So that should have been illegal in itself. So there was a lawsuit brought by the Greater New Orleans Housing Foundation, and it was found that the program was racially biased. So,
what damage did they have to pay? They have to find people and make them whole?
That didn't happen.
No, in fact, they said, okay, they did wrong, but kind of cows are out in the barns, too late now. Didn't they say that?
Absolutely. Those folks didn't get a dime.
And it's still going on. There was an article in the New York Times Magazine. There have been a million articles coming up to the anniversary.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you add another 5, 10, 20 minutes to your daily reading regimen just to catch up or keep up. But there's a letter, a long article in the magazine section about a woman in the Lower Ninth Ward and her family, 6-7 in the family, mother now, been living upriver, never could get back home money, road home money, still trying to apply, and here they are 10 years later seeing if they can reopen the case and somehow do something.
Well, I mean, when you have billions of dollars in that program and the Superdome, they use some of those dollars to, again, do repairs to the dome that had already been done after Hurricane Katrina. You say, that wasn't designed for that. That program was designed to bring people back home. Why is money being spent on the road home?
Did you also find a similar problem where they were double dipping on the money on some bond issue and street repair?
What
was that about?
In our neighborhood, the Lower Ninth Ward, I got a report in 2009 that there was hundreds of thousands of dollars for Richard Lee Playground, which is in our neighborhood and is in still dire need of repair, along with monies for the Desire Multipurpose Center in Upper Nine, as well as Lincoln Beach. So we're talking about millions of dollars. Our then councilperson, John Johnson, and our other council members approved of the mayor taking those monies and moving that to his list of 100 committed projects. So I talked to several attorneys after it happened, and they said, absolutely, it was illegal for him to do that.
And what's a 100 committed project? What do you mean by that?
Well, the mayor came out.
You go through all these budgets. You've been on them like a dog on a bone here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Got to, yeah. So what is 100 for the listeners?
Well, in I think it was 2010. The mayor came out with a list of 100 projects that he committed to doing in the city of New Orleans after he took office. So
this isn't our in-jail mayor, Nagin, from the storm 10 years ago. This is our new mayor.
Our new mayor, Mitchell Andrew. Okay, Mitchell Andrew decides that he's going to steal these monies, take it away from...
Reappropriate the monies,
Absolutely. To other projects. While... clearly, we are still very much in need of federal dollars, but you're going to take money that the voters voted for you to sell these bonds, and this money's been sitting here, you're going to take that. So, it just puts salt in the wound.
But now y'all have done a amazing job at winning some things that I know by the hardest, but commitments that you felt were important to make around parks and schools. Tell us some of what you've had to win. What were we saying a minute ago? Tell us about resilience with resistance.
Absolutely,
or whatever.
Absolutely, because we're hearing this word 24/7. This 10th anniversary, and all of us, our blood is boiling every time
I was telling you earlier, if I have a mutual friend of ours, if I say the word resilience in front of him, it's sort of like red flag in front of a bull. I know if I just want to get her heart beating, I just say, hey, what do you think about all this resilience stuff? And it's off to the races. So you were talking about resilience with the resistance. And if there is resilience, there's absolutely had to be resistance every step of the way in the Lower Ninth.
Every step. I mean, our firemen, just the new fire station was built, and the ribbon was cut at the end of 2014. And that's something that with huge groundwork, huge battles and advocacy and protests around bringing the fire station back. Our firemen were the only ones in the city that had been in a trailer that long. We had no fire protection in our community for 9 years.
Your insurance is going to be higher.
Oh, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. So then the Pete Sanchez Center, the ribbon was cut. Maybe
now,
2-3 months ago.
Now, where is that going to be located?
That's the community center. It sits on the opposite corner all the fire station at Caffin and Claiborne Avenues.
So we're talking about the heart of the Lower Ninth Ward.
Absolutely.
Right.
Those anchors that make a community what they are. So that anchor came back maybe about 2-3 months ago. It is the very building that President Obama is speaking in today.
Okay. So barely under the 10-year wire is what you're selling people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, all of this stuff was done by design.
Well, but on some of the schools, they had $9 billion, and weren't you all having to fight to actually get them to build schools that they'd committed pretty much from once the water pushed out that they were going to rebuild, and you had to fight tooth and nail to get those, didn't you?
The federal government gave the Lower Ninth Ward $94.1 million for 5 chartered schools. To this day, the only elementary school that sits there is open as a result of a community voice, other nonprofits fighting for that school to be reopened. The high school was part of the Recovery School District's master plan in 2007. For some reason in 2008, we looked at the maps and the paperwork and the high school had been taken off. So therein lied a battle to get the high school built. So the high school is being built as we speak. But all of these things we feel were done on purpose to stymie the population from coming back from to the Lower Ninth Ward. The city continued to use the word, you don't have the demographics to support and sustain these structures. So we're not going to put these
chicken and an egg problem.
Yeah,
you can't get people back without the services, but if you don't have the people back, you can't get the services.
Exactly.
We're talking to Vanessa Gehringer, who's been the face and voice of A Community Voice, formerly Louisiana New Orleans Acorn here in the city, ever since the storm. And we're talking about a lot about the Lower Ninth Ward. Now, the Lower Ninth Ward has become iconic in terms of people think Katrina, and all of a sudden you have people pretending they actually know or care or have some sense of the Lower Ninth Ward. Now, how much of the Lower Ninth Ward is back? I know that's always been something that keeps coming up again and again.
It's only about 34% of us back.
So about a third.
Yeah, we had 15,000 families in the Lower Ninth Ward pre-Katrina. We have about 5,000 or so families,
gotcha,
which probably amounts to about 3,000 people, more or less, in the Lower Ninth Ward. So when, we take huge offense when people say this community is still struggling, because we know the federal dollars that came for us were straight up gangster stolen away from the Lower Ninth Ward.
That's right.
I'm not going to use redirect it, to reappropriate it.
They're just resilient.
Stop. Just stop.
That's right. They were put in a resilience fund.
Well,
a lot of that, even the 34% you're talking about, is a little, it's not like an even return, because a lot more of that, you know, the way the city is constructed, this is confused for a lot of people in their minds still. You know, if you average the sea level in the Lower Ninth Ward, it's actually not the lowest part of the city at all.
It is not.
In fact, the average is about a half a foot over. And because of the alluvial floodplain of the Mississippi River, some of the highest ground in the city is closer to the river, and that's the river runs through the Lower Ninth Ward going east.
Right.
And that a lot of that 34%, a lot more of it is what we call on the other side of St. Claude and even Claiborne, because that was higher ground because you were on a floodplain.
Right.
I mean, you might be 6, 5, 8, 9 feet higher in some areas right near the river. So a lot of that's come back, and a lot of where all the population is from there to Bayou Bienvue, that's where you have whole areas where you'll be lucky to see one or two houses in this block and another three or four in the next block and some stuff that looks like it hadn't been touched for 10 years in the next block.
Now, mind you, it's the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. If you ride back there today, you'll see grass and tires and everything picked up that you haven't seen in 10 years. Never mind the residents calling the city's 311 number for 10 years about our quality of life in that area of the community. Nothing was ever done, but all of a sudden President Obama is coming for a visit, and you know, we got all of this international and national media, and Lord knows we got to make sure we sugarcoat all of this.
Well, you know, we have the Acorn Farm out there at Delaware and Law, and the same day we were mowing yesterday the yard on one half of the half acre we've got. For the first time, we get the city reaches out because we supposedly got a complaint. Somebody says the grass is too high. Whoa!
I mean, what?
They must have gone out there with a measuring, you know, measuring cup for the first time. They must have been going block to block, house to house. I mean,
are you kidding
me? We're gonna have to have President Obama come by every month or two to have any chance of rebuilding the Lower Ninth Ward.
Hello, you see, but the city doesn't want to say they own 600 lots down there, and before President Obama was coming here, a lot of them had 18 feet of grass on them.
Well, and yeah, I mean, it's, there's no sense, you know, going too far into that because I think your point is the one you're making. And look, I don't know if you saw the Urban League report. Former Mayor Mark Morial released a report yesterday, and the current mayor had to listen to the report, but it said, obviously, 60% of the population is now African American, much less. That was 68% before the storm. And very interestingly, wealth for white families had gone up, you know, from 20% to 30%. Yeah. But for African-American families was still, you know, as low as it had been, hardly averaging 20,000. And it just went over and over. Families making 100,000. Boom, huge rise for white families. Just the same 7% of African-American families like that. 50% of African-American men unemployed. And this has been really for years. They've talked over the last 10 years about how little unemployment we had because of all the construction and home stuff, whatever. This is still this is not a good story.
It's evident we didn't get the jobs, though. Okay.
We clearly did.
With the billions of dollars of recovery money.
That's been
money
a big issue for y'all as well.
Oh, yeah. Fighting to get the DBE language changed. You know, you shall hire DBEs, you must hire.
DBE stands for?
Disadvantaged business enterprises.
Gotcha.
You know, minority
women.
Enterprises, women's,
exactly.
Blacks, what have you. And to no avail, we have not been able to get the city to change the language in that ordinance.
Or the schools either, because I know for a while y'all were monitoring even the high school construction about
absolutely.
All the out-of-town contracts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we've gone to sites and counted how many black folk we saw on those sites. You know, we've had protests at those sites around those hiring practices. So, still, it is a battle, an ongoing battle, because, as you know, the systemic issues that exist in our community is spilling over into the very elitist neighborhoods that they've done recovery in. So, you know, if the city does not address those issues, crime will continue to spiral out of control. Because you have, again, 39% poverty in children, in African-American children in our community. You know, and as you said, 52% black unemployment, male black unemployment. How are these people going to feed their families? And the incarceration
not because
rate.
Because of our great welfare system, I'll tell you.
Wow.
Every time Bobby Jindal, our governor, you know, is out there on the trail, you can see how mean-spirited it's been for people to try to live here in New Orleans and anywhere else in Louisiana. But thank goodness for Make It Right Foundation, huh? Everything you read, it's got the famous actor Brad Pitt, and I guess he's over 10 years. They've done 100 houses or something like that.
They brought some
What's
folk
been
home.
The impact there?
Well, they brought some folk home. I have to be you know...
good news is good news.
Yeah, good news. They did bring some folk home. Now, as for the way the houses look... Definitely, that was not our choice for folks to have those houses that look like boxes.
Some of them look like spaceships, and some of them look like, you know, I drove somebody out there not long ago, and, you know, the more I look at it, a lot of them look like trailer homes on stilts.
Absolutely.
it's like you took a trailer and put it, you know, 15 feet high or whatever the height limit is. And, you know, they may have added some solar and some awnings whatever. Yeah. But
Well, my only concern for those folks in those make it right homes, and I have to say, the inside of those homes are beautiful.
I bet they are.
Energy efficient, everything. Our concern is that most of those houses are being sold at $150,000, maybe no more than $170,000. It's been said by local officials that because of all the energy efficient gadgets and everything they have inside of them, that really the market rate value might be more like $200,000, $225,000. Our concern is that the city may say one day, you have to pay taxes on what we're assessing now is the market rate value. And I'm concerned that those folks might not be able to pay those property taxes.
Well, I think it's always been clear, and this was even true from Pitt and Make It Right Foundation, that the average cost to build the houses was closer to $230,000, $240,000. So, you know, once you put a soft second and you put the subsidies in, they sort of watered the cost down to $100,500 or whatever. But everybody was always clear that it wasn't a sustainable housing model.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they have to raise so much money, and Angelina used to have to do some of those sort of, you know, wink and nod kind of movies, you know, give people a little bit too much look so she'd make some extra money to fund the foundation. I mean, I've read all this. Hey, you know, it's all in People magazine. You know, it's all out there. You know, you get on an airplane, you find out way too much with your spare time. But, you know, and that's, so you hope that he can build more houses. That's all good. But that's not a path for recovery of the Lower Ninth Ward or any other part of the city.
It is not. I mean, we're still looking at kids catching buses. And it, don't get me started on the charter movement, which was an experiment on our children.
Yeah.
We're looking at these kids riding 2 hours on a school bus to get an education outside of our community. And then we're watching them come back well after dark, you know, and their safety is at risk with that. And this is not conducive to learning. It's not good for them because they're going to these schools and kids are saying, oh, you're from there, you know. So they're not getting, they don't feel comfortable. They're not being made to feel comfortable going to school elsewhere. So, I mean, for the government to have given the community $94.1 million and us to have to still continue to fight for neighborhood schools, you know, just
something's wrong.
Yeah, something's
but
wrong.
It's not just the Lower Ninth Ward either, is it, Vanessa? Because I know there's a big action a community voice had. Well, you know, surprisingly, it got huge coverage in the local press and pictures in the Upper Ninth Ward.
And absolutely.
I forget the name of the park, but it was a park that looked like it had been just left to seed, virtually.
Yeah.
You know, that the city, and even the city was backtracking in a newspaper about. I mean, it's sort of a mess, and we don't know what to do. We're going to do something. We're not sure. Now it's going to be expensive. Well, you know, it is going to be expensive.
Well, you know, they're not saying that we got federal dollars for this part. So where's the federal dollars you got for this part, for the repairs? So, you know, Upper Nine, as well as New Orleans East and the Lower Ninth Ward, they're all part of District 8. You know, that area, and it's the largest geographical area in the city, and it was the most damaged.
Well, in New Orleans East was the heart of the African American middle class in New Orleans, where city employees and teachers lived. And of course, when you fire 2,500 city employees and 7,000 teachers, that's also going to be a shot to the jaw that'll knock you down. And a lot of you know, when they measure the teachers, the teaching workforce now in New Orleans went from 80% African American to 49%.
Right.
So people haven't come back. They're not coming back. No. When they fired them, they didn't say, okay, you know, we'll take another look at you later.
Yeah. You know, and again, all of these things were done. You know, that was the mission, to rid itself and to make this city a whiter city. And it's happening. I mean, look at the ratio, you know, of the African-American population and the population now. You know, you can see.
And what's going to change any of this, Vanessa? I mean, if we get past all of our great resilience the last 10 years,
look
over the next 5 years, then What's next for New Orleans and those communities that were so badly hit by Katrina? Are we just going to become a footnote to the story? I mean, we're getting a little bump of attention now, and people are talking about whether or not we really have the levees to protect the city, and, you know, it goes on and on, blah, blah, blah. But what's next? Is it just more resistance, as you say?
It's going to be more fighting. You know, we are prepared to fight just as we were to fight to come back to our neighborhoods. So we're prepared for the long haul to have to fight. If we don't fight, then we have no other option. These people will steamroll us. The victories that we have experienced in our community, it's great to look at those buildings and know that we were about the business of fighting to bring them back. It wasn't an easy thing. You know, it was a long, hard fight, tiring, all of that. But we have a generation of children coming up in those communities, and we owe it to them to set our communities back on track, you know, and set them up the way they need to be. We are about the business of instilling in our children now, you know, and educating them around the politics, the politics, everything that is important to your well-being and your quality of life. So we have to continue this fight. We've been victorious, you know, with the infrastructure that we have, and it's more to come.
You know, there was a pretty well-known, best-selling author who writes for The New Yorker and writes these books like The Tipping Point and Outliers, a guy named Malcolm Gladwell, who did this whole thing recently in The New Yorker, the big magazine. Basically, the theme wasn't it lucky for so many poor African-Americans that they were forcibly, 100,000 of them, hadn't come back, obviously, to the city, that they were forcibly put in other communities where they had a better chance to get out of poverty. What do you think of an argument like that?
That is awful.
Isn't that shocking?
Awful and shocking. You know, it was just like this article that Allison McQuarrie wrote for the Chicago Tribune. You know, I mean, I was absolutely outraged. You want to press a reset button and kill, separate and tear apart black families? To me, that's almost akin to slavery.
Genocide. Well, and that, you know, 1,800 families and people dead, white, black, whatever. That's, I mean, how could, I know the Chicago story you're talking about, it was sort of like, what a good thing. Almost. Well,
are you crazy?
Maybe it's the best thing for New Orleans because the schools did this or what. I mean.
Yeah. Are you crazy? We were born as U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. We deserve the right to have all the privileges and everything that comes along with being a citizen of the United States. So we have to drive that point home every day sometimes in our daily lives, and especially here in this city. We're citizens, we pay taxes, we do everything that our counterparts do. Why should we expect anything less?
Well, and this guy Gladwell ended his article by saying, well, you know, good for everybody who showed the resilience, he used that word, we'll just let it go, to stay and make New Orleans go forward, and then a sentence like, but we ought to start honoring the courage of the people who didn't come back. Well, you know, courage is a choice, not when you're coerced or forced or implanted somewhere else. And as you said, so many obstacles to return were then put in people's way and still are being put in people's way to come back. And to call that courage,
that's horrible.
We have so many people out there, and you know, you were just in Texas, and you know, we run into New Orleans people all the time, who just still can't come back after 10 years.
You know, I never heard anybody saying that the residents that experienced Hurricane Sandy couldn't come back and rebuild. I never heard anybody ever saying those devastating tornadoes, you know, in Kansas and Oklahoma, that you can't come back home. I never heard that.
Or that it's a good thing that they got uprooted and thrown out in the wind.
I never heard that. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah. So, you know, when I look at when someone says that, makes those kinds of statements, you know, I take it offensively because in essence, you're saying you're not worth our time. You're not worth our love, our compassion, you know, for you to go back to your homes, the place you were born and raised.
Well, it also says we have no memory. I mean, you'll remember how outraged everyone in the country was when Barbara Bush, wife of a former president, George, you know, H.W. Bush, made her comment when people were put in the Astrodome who were, you know, Katrina survivors, that they were in better shape in the Astrodome than they had been living in New Orleans. I mean, and everybody knew that was just the most biased, bigoted, stupid thing to say.
Oh, that's
awful. And now we have 10 years later, people acting like, well, they can put a, you know, sociologist in newspaper reports. Maybe that's a good thing, or Chicago Tribune. Mm-hmm. We've been talking to Vanessa Gehringer, who's been the spark plug for A Community Voice. How do people reach out for you and your organization if they still want to help, volunteer, send you a couple of bucks, hey, send you love or whatever, just find out if it's safe to come on. Tell people how to get in touch with you, our last couple of seconds here.
You definitely can go to our website, www.acommunityvoice.org, to donate.
Okay.
You can call our local office, okay, and again, the phone number is on the website. We constantly need volunteers to come in, and we're still struggling with rebuilding. So we want people. We need help. We need help. Your donations will help us.
You know, we haven't got it all fixed yet.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
This has been Wade's World with Vanessa Gehringer. We're on next Friday with Adrienne Rue, talking about REACT and work in Northern Africa. Thank you for Wade's World.